You're with Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third hour of the Patrick Henningsen Show here on TNT, today's News Talk. Before the break, we had a tremendous discussion with the author, journalist, human rights campaigner, Fra Hughes from Northern Ireland about the terrible tragedy in Palestine, the death of a journalist. It is really a horrific scene, and not only the killing of this journalist by the Israeli security services, but also them attacking her funeral afterwards, attacking the people holding up her coffin. Is just really an unbelievable story, and it represents so much of what we're seeing in that part of the world and have been seeing for such a long time. What will be the result of this? We shall see. We shall see. What certainly we'll be talking about it on this program as well. We'll let you know what happens and when it's happening. Now, I was talking about some of the main news stories, and you know, there's just some fascinating stories. One of them is the Azovstal story. So the looks like a full surrender is underway. So as we said before, the Azov battalion's not going to get the Hollywood ending that they were hoping for. Elon Musk, sending a spaceship down, taking them over to another planet or something where they could start their own new colony in space. I don't know. It sounds all a bit weird, but you know, this is the age of Eurovision. So anything's possible in the postmodernist dreamscaping space between your ears. This is where most of these people seem to reside most of the time, and not in the real world. If they're in the real world, they would have saved themselves and saved quite a few more lives by basically surrendering. But they're hoping to be rescued by somebody somewhere. I don't know. It's quite an amazing delusional story, but it seems to be coming to an end. The final act is underway, the Azovstal plant, and when that is eventually emptied out, then that's it. Mariupol, the southern Donbass, that's going to really be absorbed into the Russian world, right the way to Crimea. And now you have a new Ukraine with different borders. And so whenever this conflict ends, the borders are going to change. Of course, Europe's not going to recognize them. NATO's not going to recognize them. They're going to say, oh, this is horrible, this is terrible, even though all the people within those borders are celebrating right now, saying, wow, this is amazing. This is great. We're finally rid of this corrupt regime. But that's not how it's going to play out in the West. So let the propaganda wars continue, and they will continue. Now, the other big story, of course, is the mass shooting in the United States, in Buffalo. It's one of many mass shootings that we've seen over the years. Not as many as in past years. They seem to have slowed down in frequency, but this one has all the telltale signs of a daily shooter event. And I spoke about the daily shooter phenomenon at the beginning of the show. And we're going to be joined on the line by Hesher. He's the host of the Boiler Room over at the Alternate Current Radio Network. And Hesher is also a keen observer of these types of high-profile crisis events and has studied them ad nauseum, as have I, and we have studied them together over the years. I think we might have him on the line right now. Hesher, are you there?
Hello, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Hesher. And, I'd like to say we'd be discussing more happy and pleasant things, but there's been another mass shooting in America. And when I saw this mass shooting, Hesher, I posted on my Facebook immediately. I said, in 48 hours, somebody will announce from some law enforcement that the shooter was on the radar of the security services or of the FBI or the police. And he's known to the authorities because of whatever. He might even have been under surveillance. We don't know the full story yet. And people said, oh, that's a very insensitive thing for you to say. Terrible, Patrick. Terrible for you to say that. Now, maybe you could explain to people better than I, Hesher, that I didn't just say things like that flippantly. I mean, there's some history there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've seen this over and over again. And one of the reasons for folks out there that might think a prediction or a statement like that is insensitive, one of the things that you may not have picked up on that we have is that when the entire narrative is rolled out within an hour or minutes, or even while it's breaking sometimes, by the mainstream media, by the mass media, the corporate media, then you have your first red flag, because that's not the way that violent crimes are supposed to work. That's not the way investigations are supposed to work. Yes, journalists can, you know, butt in and say things if they've found something. But in our case, especially in America here, our journalists are not journalists anymore. They simply read scripts and reports that come from, quote unquote, official sources, right? So when the official sources are telling the teleprompter reader at the mass media cartel to say the words white supremacy and radicalized, and then give you all this information within hours of a major crime, you have your first red flag. So that is one of the first ones that myself and both Patrick look for, because that usually leads somewhere, right? That usually means something if we see that. So we had this young man, alleged shooter, Peyton Gendron, show up at a grocery store 200 miles away from his house. This was on Saturday, I believe. So he drove to Buffalo, New York. And they're reporting that 10 people are dead from their injuries after this Peyton Gendron opened fire with a rifle, a semi-automatic rifle. For those of you that don't know, a semi-automatic rifle is a standard rifle, a very legal rifle here in the United States, and it does not shoot automatic fire. You get one bullet per squeeze of the trigger. And yeah, and then we've got the second red flag, Patrick, which was a giant, rambling, 180-page, quote-unquote, manifesto in which this young person allegedly self-describes himself as having been radicalized on the internet during the pandemic and taking cues from the New Zealand shooter. So
you said quote manifesto. Are you inferring that this is not really a manifesto, that it's just a hodgepodge of cut and paste and internet ramblings and assorted 4chan references? It's not really a manifesto, is it?
Correct. Yeah, it is nothing that would make any sort of sense. It's not I mean, there's a lot of speculation that if we go all the way back to Ted Kaczynski, that his manifesto was ginned up, if you will. But at least that one had a bit of an ideology inside of it, you know. If we were
to take some structure
it
to
real,
it, yeah, yeah,
right. It had some sort of you know, utopia in mind and a certain set of gripes in mind that kind of meshed and led in a certain direction. Whereas the New Zealand church shooter, as well as this Buffalo shooter, it's not a manifesto. It is a giant, like you said, hodgepodge of internet
it's,
stuff.
It's like a dossier. Yeah. It's like a and Tarrant, the New Zealand. You mentioned the Christchurch shooter, which the parallels to this are too many parallels. In fact, ridiculously amount of parallels and similarities. That was just. This seems like a dossier. It's almost like, and I don't want to sound too conspiratorial here, and I know we're pushing the boat out pretty far early in this segment, Hesher, but it's almost like someone put together a dossier, saved it as a PDF, and said, "There you right. go." I don't know. I'm just being a little bit cynical there, and a little bit my tinfoil hats on and all that, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you look at these things, both of these ones, they are utterly ridiculous. And maybe that makes sense because we're told that, you know, Peyton Gendron is mentally ill, psychotic. We were told that about the Christchurch shooter as well. But in the same breath, they'll tell you that they are racial, you know, white supremacists or, you know, this or that. And it's like, you, if that were the case, it would be very easy to discern that in their writings. But these aren't the writings, you know, like you said, this is a hodgepodge of stuff pulled from the internet. I mean, it's really, it's almost as if an AI whipped up these manifestos or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, CNN's talking about they're venerating this manifesto on CNN. They're the manifesto, and there's the big chyrons and headlines, and then they're saying, well, what will Tucker Carlson say about this in response? So they've already politicized the whole event to fit into that. Have you noticed that, Hesher? That fit into that neat, you know, left wing, right wing, Democrat, GOP, little format in America. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. In fact, if you even say Tucker Carlson's name, there are Twitter folks who will just immediately jump all over you because they're now to the point on Twitter, the woke mob on Twitter and the bots on Twitter are all programmed to just jump on anyone that mentions Tucker Carlson or uses one of his talking points. I'll give you an example. There's this this rank horrible account. I guess this guy is some sort of filmmaker or works for I don't know, Vanity Fair or some garbage rag like that. He tweeted out yesterday, whiteness is a dominant cult. No, he tweeted out, being anti-racist starts by admitting whiteness is a disease. Okay, so that's the kind of account that is saying these things about Tucker. Tucker, just, I guess I'll make accounts like that mad and just say that Tucker made a great point when he did cover this. Over 2 days here in America, 104 people were shot to death. St. Louis had 13 shot, 5 dead. Chicago had 33 shot, 5 dead. There was another incident in Laguna Woods, California, where a Chinese immigrant allegedly drove from Las Vegas over there to shoot people inside of a church. So, you know, there's all, and all we get is this white supremacy talking point. And if you watch the video that was live streamed, the very first person he shoots is a white person. So, you know, I mean, right out of the gates, the story starts to kind of fall apart. You know, any journalist yeah. worth their salt should be asking, well, wait a minute, if this is white supremacy, why did he get out of the car and shoot a white woman right away?
Oh, they've got a patch for that argument already. They're saying that, the majority of the victims were black, therefore this was a racially motivated shooting. That's not really going to stand up in my forensic court. So the first people he shot were white as soon as he came out of the car. This is if you go by the video game viewpoint there, the POV, real life video game active shooter thing. But so the whole racial thing, this is what CNN and these types of analysts, these analysts were saying, well, he chose this community because it is the majority of African Americans that live there. So it seems to me, and it's in his manifesto. So they've kind of put all this together. What I see here, if we take the video of the shooter, Hesher, on face value, you can tell me if you agree or not. What I see here, I see if we take that on face value, we take that video, we say, okay, that happened. Notice how I'm qualifying everything, but let's just take that on face value. This is just a homicidal rampage. And I don't think race comes into it at all. It's beyond any political or racist thing. It's just somebody who is really completely messed up. Mentally deranged, chemically imbalanced, potentially an abuse victim who's acting out. There could be all sorts of other things there. And I'm going to add this too. How do we not know that there was an accomplice involved? These are the things that I would be asking immediately. Who else is involved? Why did this person drive 4 hours to a random supermarket? why did this person case this supermarket in this particular place? Why? These are important questions, right? Because if there's a crime, motive is important. And I'm sorry, but the manifesto stroke dossier doesn't cut it for me on motive, Hesher. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, he also, they interviewed this guy, this African-American guy, who said that the previous day he sat down and talked with this guy on a bench for an hour. I found that really weird. Like, if you look through all the interviews that they have from locals on this, it's much like other situations, more red flags, a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. Like, why are they telling the public this? Like, do they tell us that? For example, there was a shooting in Sacramento a few weeks back, and you can tell that one, like, if you compare the reporting on what happened in that Sacramento shooting to this one or any other high profile shooting, you'll see a stark big difference in the way that it's done. It's getting very easy to tell when something is organic and when it's not, at the same time as it's getting more difficult to tell. You don't know what you're looking for.
You're spot on there. Hold that thought, Hesher. Hold that thought. We're going to pick that thread up on the other side. This is TNT, Today's News Talk. I'm talking to Hesher, host of The Boiler Room. We're breaking down the Buffalo shooting, and there's a lot more here than meets the eye. Trust us on that. I'm Patrick Henningsen. We'll be right back after these messages.
TNT Radio's Christina Borgeson.
Freddie, let's talk about the indications of synergy among the U.S. and German facilities in the Ukraine. You talk about workshops, employees attending workshops organized by U.S. companies, Metabiota and Black & Veatch. And explain who Black & Veatch and Metabiota are to the audience so that they know.
Clearly, there is documents and intel available as far as the funding from the DTRA, funding Black & Veatch, which is basically a major contractor. So it's like during the war in Iraq, you have Bechtel, you have the Washington Group. These are big, big contractors. They get millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contract. And their job and their specificity is basically building biolabs, BSL 1, 2, 3, you name it. They are capable of building very highly secured laboratories for obviously very dangerous research.
Christina Borgeson on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Election 2022, and Australia decides on the 21st of May.
Imagine going out on a second date with somebody and realising they were an absolute psycho, but you weren't allowed to break up with them for 4 years. You just had to put up with them as they ruined your life. Recall elections enables you to break up with bad politicians who are obviously not right for you. In only 2 years, we transformed from one of the most free and prosperous nations in the world into a place where you can't leave your home without express permission, a mask and a tracking device on your phone. The Liberal Democrats will give you a way out. I'm John Ruddick, and I'm the New South Wales Senate candidate for the Liberal Democrats. I want to talk about the second policy in our party's Freedom Manifesto, which we put under the heading Recall Elections. The response to COVID has demonstrated just how unaccountable governments can become between elections. What we're proposing is three things. Firstly, citizens must have the right to recall power-mad politicians. If Scott Morrison were to block you from travelling or returning from overseas, you could get a petition signed by a certain threshold of people, trigger a by-election or a full general election for the entire government if we get sufficient signatures. So the second thing we want to do is enable the citizens' veto on any legislation. No longer will citizens have to camp in front of Parliament House day and night or to protest with no guarantee that it will make any difference. Citizens should be able to veto legislation. Legislation does infringe our freedom. Obviously, some legislation is good, but we want to give the citizens the power to trigger a referendum to remove legislation. And lastly, this policy will make voting voluntary. Some people are disinterested in politics. Some people are apathetic. And some people who are interested in politics say, I don't like any of them at this election and I want to sit home. We've got to give people that freedom. What happens at the moment when we're all forced to vote, even the people that don't want to vote, it means that our politicians, knowing that their bases are going to vote, only focus on the apathetic middle. We need politicians that are going to appeal to their base, convince their base that they've got the right vision, and convince the middle. That is the democratic ideal. Human history tells us that democracy is a good thing, but we need to keep working on our democracy. We need to keep refining it, because politicians and government will always find a way to take away our liberties. These three policies that the Liberal Democrats are fighting for at the next federal elections, recall elections, citizens' veto over legislation, and voluntary voting, these are three tangible steps, important steps, that will really put power back in the hands of the people. Please read about it further in the Liberal Democrats' Freedom Manifesto. Thank you.
To find out more, visit ldp.org.au.
Authorised by John Humphreys for the Liberal Democratic Party, Mount Waverley, Victoria.
This is today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT, today's News Talk. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen, and we're talking about breaking down the Buffalo mass shooting. And another day, it appears to be a daily shooter event. When I say daily shooter, if you follow the work of 21st Century Wire over the years, the daily shooter is the phenomenon where you have all of these identical data points and identical phenomenons that happen on these high profile mass shootings. And maybe it's just the way the media are portraying it. Maybe there's other things involved behind the scenes. Who knows? Federal agents, informants, handlers, other third-party actors. We don't know. We don't know. We're just trying to sift through what we've got in front of us here. And before the break, I know you're making an important point, Hesher, so I want to let you finish that. And then I'm going to throw up a few red flags that I've just found out this morning, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think I was comparing it to the recent incident in Sacramento. In Sacramento, we had a recent shooting event in downtown, I believe on K Street in Sacramento, California. And it was, it was billed as a mass shooting, right? Like they love this whole, oh, it's a mass shooting. So many mass shootings here, mass shooting. Like they never consider a weekend in Chicago where 35 are shot as a mass shooting. But if they can get one event where, more than three people have been shot, they love to immediately call it a mass shooting. And they're trying to make the world think, not just America, they're trying to make the entire world think that America, basically the last country that has the ability to defend itself from psychotic people, including their own government, but that gets into constitutional territory. We won't go there. But anyways, they love this idea of the mass shooting when it fits a narrative that they can politicize. And what do they want to politicize? They want to politicize race relations. They want to politicize the tool itself, the gun, everything. They want to politicize every little piece of it. And here's my guess. Well, back to the Sacramento one. They called that a mass shooting. They put the faces of a bunch of people up who had been shot right away, and they give this, oh, we're so feel so terrible out of all these people, blah blah. And it turns out one of the faces they put in that group was one of the shooters. And lo and behold, they lost control of the narrative really quick, because it turns out all of the people that were involved in that were thug gangster types that were just hanging out. The cops had been called on them earlier in that night for live streaming outside of some apartments, waving their guns around and, dancing and talking about how they were going to go mess some people up, this and that. So it turns, and they had to just pretty much bury that story almost immediately, because all this social media came out and it's like, these people, it's very obvious that they were a criminal, just, psycho wannabe gang thug types in Sacramento, who are more than willing to just shoot indiscriminately into crowds. They don't care about life, right? Like, we've got these kind of people all over the country who actually have been radicalized by the media and radicalized by their own situation and society and culture. So that stuff doesn't get talked about. And that case, I bet you, is not going to be federally sealed, right? this case, I would bet my bottom dollar is already and will remain federally sealed all the way through the end, much like the Vegas shooting with Paddock. And I could go on and on and on with a list.
Sandy Hook. Yeah. Sandy Hook was sealed.
You said it. Watch out. You're going to get yourself
canceled.
Oh, my
God. Did I say Sandy Hook? No. The point about – no, I know. This is Alex Jones in the third rail. Look, the point about Sandy Hook is that a lot of people don't realize and that the reactionary media don't like to acknowledge is that the reason there were so many people speculating and questioning what happened in Sandy Hook in December 2012, was because they sealed everything and shut everything off from the public. And it wasn't until a year later, because of so much pressure from media outlets, from the public, that they basically started to release some information. But before that, everything was under a lock and key, had federal status, even though it was a local crime in Connecticut. So they fueled the conspiracy theorists. They fueled the speculation. And then the media is turning around and complaining about it. Well, you only have to blame the government on that. So I think you're right. I think that's a pretty good bet, Hesher. I think that's a pretty good bet for this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that happens for folks that don't know, almost every single case that is federally sealed like that, evidence is destroyed. That school that you mentioned there was leveled, you know, just taken off the planet completely.
Sandy Hook in Newtown, right? It was bulldozed, right?
Yep. In less than a year, it was bulldozed. It was bulldozed pretty quickly, actually. I don't want to get the date wrong, so I'm not going to try to remember, but it was bulldozed very quickly. You don't have access to the forensic reports. You don't have access to the police reports. You don't have access to the court reports. You don't have any of that. You have to take it all from the talking heads in the mass media. And the next thing that happens is there are bills floated around. There are gun control bills associated with almost every single one of these. You could look back to Las Vegas and see that immediately after that happened, what they like to call high capacity magazines, many of which are just standard magazines, would be what they would be considered by, you know, anyone who actually understands firearms. They went after those and bump stocks. All right. So, and I could go on and on. This particular shooting, I'm going to guess that body armor and, of course, the infamous black rifle, you know, the AR-15, are going to be what they're going after. And well, lo and behold, almost immediately, before the bodies are even cold, Hillary Clinton tweets out, "If Republicans in Congress can issue protections for Supreme Court justices after peaceful protests, they should protect the American people from out-of-control gun violence after three mass shootings in 2 days. This mass shooting in Buffalo is both heartbreaking and outraging. How long will we tolerate innocent lives being ended by the toxic mix of racism and guns?" So there they go, plotting to steal your Second Amendment right once again for the, you know, 9 billionth time here, without any consideration for finding out what actually happened, right? We're all supposed to just believe everything the media tells us right away in this situation. I mean, it's disgusting.
This remind the timing of this is interesting, Hesher, although it's similar, not exactly, but the Parkland shooting, the Parkland school shooting in Florida there, that was, I believe, in the spring of or the February or March of 2018, ahead of the midterms. And then that was used, blatantly used, even by the students at Parkland as a trigger to get out the vote for the Democrats in the 2018 midterms, quite brazenly, actually, with David Hogg fronting that. He was the student there that he became a kind of a icon of the anti-gun movement in America. So we have immediately you'll see moves to moves against the Second Amendment, moves to increase gun laws or restrictions and things like that on a federal level, always. Then you have the political moves. So in this case, Biden, he's supposed to be the patron saint of the fight against white supremacy. Apparently, that's how he sort of marketed his presidency from the beginning. Charlottesville compelled me to run for president. That's the kind of script that he constructed when he announced his presidency when he ran. And then you have law enforcement powers, and I'm talking about more aggressive, surveillance, talking about censorship online, giving the government more power to maybe lean on the social media companies, shut down websites, all this sort of stuff. And so you've got the political, you've got the attack on gun rights, and you've got the kind of general police state activity. These all come quite quickly and quite heavy in the wake of any of these high profile crisis events. So that's the thing that we're looking at in the kind of the daily shooter analysis of any of these high profile events, is we're looking, well, who are the opportunists, be they political, be they on the police state side, be they in some kind of corporate advantage, or on the Silicon Valley side, the collusion between government and Silicon Valley. There's all of these people that tend to benefit from this. And the thing that's so infuriating about this, Hesher, is the point you made initially, which is that, wait a minute, more people have died on the streets of Chicago from gun violence than any of the worst day in Iraq, and when the U.S. was occupying in Iraq, in terms of U.S. casualties in Iraq. That's a normal weekend in Chicago. In fact, more so in most of the time. So, like, where's the outrage there? How come this isn't an ongoing issue? How come it's only seized upon by the Hillary Clintons of the world or the Obamas of the world when it's one of these kind of outlandish, almost kind of improbable scenarios of this kind of like the really intricate plot and manifestos, exactly like the El Paso Walmart shooter, same, almost identical MO to that. Although in this case, it looks like he's possibly got more casualties here. But so Hesher, we're just putting together a matrix here. So I just wanted to lay that out. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're at a point with the Daily Shooter program, as we've dubbed it, where it becomes difficult to say, you know, this was fake, or this was, you know, that, you know, it's so convoluted now that one has to be a little bit careful. And, you know, for me, it's all about the red flags. And the biggest red flags are the ones that we've noted so far. Mostly, there's a few more we'll probably hit here, but there's a pattern, you know, there's a MO for these things. And I mean, even Hollywood knows. There's a new movie out. Actually, I'm not sure what year it is out or came out or if it's out yet, but I just saw a preview for this movie, and it's about some Fed boys and girls who are looking to make an arrest for violence, and they make a comedy movie basically out of some feds looking to gin up some charges on some guys, you know, and they do it in ways that we've seen before, you know, based on reality. So, you know, this is a thing. It's not something that just lives in the minds of tinfoil hat wearing people, you know. And you mentioned the Walmart shooter. The other thing I found very interesting about this alleged manifesto is his entire plan was in there, they say, like right down to what gear he chose, what he's wearing, where he's going to go. And allegedly in there, it says he's going to go to a Walmart after this grocery store. So, you know what I mean? Like, we've got all the hallmarks here just in one weekend. We've got a church shooting. We've got plans for a Walmart shooting. And we've got a grocery store shooting. We've got all these different sets of symbology used in there. And, you know, all this stuff. And it all just leads to further division, getting people upset at race relations and all this stuff. And by the way, if you remember back in November, there was a crazy idiot psychopath that ran over a bunch of people, including kids, in a Christmas parade here in America. And the media didn't even assign him a race. And they did their best to hide his radicalized views. That guy was, his social media posts were much easier to understand. They appeared to be consistent with what you would see with someone who had black supremacist views and who had been radicalized by the mainstream media. And they did their best to bury that story. They didn't even want to assign that guy a race. But hey, when black people are murdered in a grocery store, it's not a crazy idiot psychopath. It's white supremacy within 10 minutes.
Yeah. What, Shaka? Was that the name of the, was it Wisconsin? The car where you ran over a bunch of people at Christmas. Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of obvious what was going on there. They totally buried that. And then now this in the manifesto, Hesher, by the way, El Paso Walmart shooting 2019, 23 dead reported here, 23 injured. Anti-immigration, far-right extremism, that's the sort of label, thesis, conclusion on that. And here we have anti-black, supposedly, with this Buffalo shooter, and then replacement theory. And so this is an interesting one. So this, they're saying that, well, we'll get into this after the break. We'll take a short break with TNT. We're breaking down the Buffalo mass shooting. I'm here with Hesher, host of the Boiler Room at the Alternate Current Radio Network. Look, we'll continue this discussion in just a minute with TNT. Today's News Talk. We'll be right back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Former President Donald Trump has made many wise choices in endorsing Republican candidates for the midterm elections. For the primary elections to date, only one of Trump's 59 endorsed candidates has lost, indicating that American voters generally agree with his judgment. Trump's endorsement of Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie last Tuesday is particularly important for this week's primary election to ensure Massie has a resounding win. Although Trump has previously denounced Massie, this turnaround is an endorsement for one of America's most admirable congressmen. Massie has fought hard against medical tyranny, passionately opposing vaccine and mask mandates. He has fought for 9/11 truth. He has opposed the military-industrial complex in profiting from senseless wars. Importantly, he opposes most of his Republican colleagues for meddling in the Ukrainian conflict and risking world war. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
The bushfire was so unpredictable, it was important to have a plan.
We stayed up to date with our phones and the radio. We knew it was coming.
I never thought it would actually happen. I'm glad we had a plan.
You have to prepare your property and your family.
Always had a plan.
We can all be bushfire ready. Do your 5-minute bushfire plan today.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is among five people named as recipients of the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award for acting to protect democracy. President Zelensky was chosen because he has marshaled the spirit, patriotism, and untiring sacrifice of the Ukrainian people in a life-or-death fight for their country. The John F. Kennedy Library Foundation said, in response, journalist Gonzalo Lira asked, "So when you shut down opposition news channels, persecute journalists critical of you, imprison your political opponents, and in some cases have them murdered, that's defending democracy?"
Government has taken our rights and will never give them back unless we make them. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT Today's News Talk. I'm Patrick Kenningson. We're in the third hour, final segment of the third hour. On the line is a astute observer of this crazy phenomenon, which we've come to understand as the daily shooter in the United States. And if we look back to the year 2015, around that 2015, 2014, 15, 16, that was the golden age of the daily shooter during the Obama administration, especially 2015. Hesher, there was one pretty much every weekend the entire summer, and they got more bizarre and strange and improbable as the summer went along. And I just can't understand why these things proliferate during Democratic administrations. I don't really understand why, but we're just meant to sort of sit back and wonder. But yeah, the El Paso shooter, 21-year-old, how the media says, NPR, 21-year-old white man accused of driving more than 11 hours across state lines to a random Walmart. I mean, there's a Walmart in every single town and city in America. Why would you go to that particular one there? So that was inflaming the immigration issue, is that one. Now, this one's got injected in his so-called manifesto is this replacement theory. And the media are making a lot of headway on this. And this is interesting because this is kind of the right wing. They're portraying this as kind of a right wing, radical, social, political, social, political identity driven, ethno-nationalist gripe that the white race is being replaced by immigrants, and somehow this is a threat to, if you're a supposedly a far right white supremacist or something like this. But how I'm looking at this, Hesher, is this issue, this is an interesting little set piece of this story the media is running with, by the way. It's a counterbalance to critical race theory. And I find that to be kind of an interesting coincidence, because the whole ultra left wing critical race theory agenda is just being rammed through schools, and there's been a lot of pushback in the last year. Parents are coming forward, taking school board positions, saying, no, we don't want our kids brainwashed into sectarian ideologies like critical race theory. And they're beside themselves. The sort of the liberal media is beside themselves. They don't know what to do. They've kind of been caught out. They've, you know, the right in America, the conservatives in America have earmarked something that looks like that was supposed to kind of go under the radar through the school system and kind of infect the population with this kind of radical sectarian ideology and revisionist history of America and making everything about race and whatever. It's been caught out. It's been exposed. Now it's a problem. And now you've got this happen. And they push this replacement theory talking point up there front and center, and that kind of balances out the CRT thing, doesn't it? So I think this is interesting politically in America. I don't know if you noticed this as well.
Well, Helter Skelter is all the rage here in the United States. Who'd have thunk it, too, after it was such a joke? You know, this was introduced to us, in the 60s or 70s with the Manson family?
And
here we are now with the addition of cybernetic feedback loops provided by the technocrats in Silicon Valley and the rank lying of the mass media. We're there, and we actually do have people being radicalized by these talking points. If you watch active self-protection or police activity on YouTube, you will see, if you follow those channels, you turn the notifications on, you will see that almost every day, literally every day, someone or multiple someones are looking to commit suicide by cop. We do have an epidemic of mental illness in this country, and I blame that squarely on the government, on the three-letter agencies, and the mass media cartel. These people are the ones radicalizing people in this country. There are other factors, of course, you know, like growing up without dads in the families in the cities. You know, we could go down the list of bullet points there on why this is happening. But the fact of the matter is we have a lot of mental illness in this country right now. And I blame a lot of it squarely on the government and the media. They're trying to do this to people, and they want to make us think that we need gun control and that we need censorship and that we should not have First Amendment rights or Second Amendment rights anymore. But gun control doesn't work. Just look at Chicago. Like you said, I think the worst day in the Iraq war was 37 dead. Well, we have 33 shot not all dead, but in 2 days in Chicago at the same time. And that's a normal weekend, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, gun control doesn't work. Chicago is a place that has some of the strictest gun control of all. Look at Houston. We have a listener out there in Houston who's lived there for a long time, and he has seen the city that he lives in just completely change. And we now have people who are criminals being released time and time and time again. Every time, people who have, you know, they say, "Oh, we need to make sure that if a kid in school says something kind of scary, that, you know, they're arrested." Or we need red flag laws, because if someone posts something on social media that is scary, you know, then they can have their weapons confiscated. Look what's going on here. We've got entire cities of people that are being held hostage by thugs in their own cities, who are walking around the parks. There's a guy out there, our listener, there's a guy that lurks in the park where he exercises, and many Houstonians exercise, who threatens people, who's tried to rob people, who's been arrested 3 times. This guy has threatened our listener even directly, and just got an article the other day saying that this guy pulled a gun on someone and tried to do a burglary on them in the parking lot of this park, was arrested, and again released. So they're releasing people all over the place who have very violent backgrounds in our cities. We've got here's another factor on gun control, right? We have in Houston and Chicago and multiple other cities, a lot of the thugs out there and people who have no firearms training whatsoever, long rap sheets, felons who are not allowed to own firearms. Not only do they have firearms, they have autos. They've altered the sear inside the firearm. So we have Glock 19, Glock 17 pistols all over this country that have been illegally modified to shoot full automatic. I see these videos literally every day. And that's, the media doesn't talk about any of that. They don't talk about any of that hardly at all. They want to make it look like it's a some sort of, you know, white supremacy issue. And you know, the Homeland Security itself has said that, you know, that these are the people we should be looking at. Well, it just doesn't jive. It doesn't make sense. It makes absolutely no sense. And if gun control is what they're going for, look at Chicago, look at Houston, and tell me how that's working. Tell me how it's working out in places that have heavy gun control. I believe New York is among those also.
Yes. California, New York, Chicago, gun-free zones. Legal, lawful gun owners are not the problem. They've never been the problem, and they will never be the problem. The problem is illegal gun owners, and whether you restrict firearms or not, everybody with a brain knows that criminals will get their hands on the weapons they want to commit the crimes that they want to commit. So this flies in the face of the rhetoric, the political rhetoric, Hesher. But there's a Ukraine angle to this Buffalo story, isn't there?
Let's make sure we hit that before we end up here. Symbology that this guy is wearing, I want to get your take on this, because this gets really sticky here. I know we're getting close to the top of the hour. So he's wearing this Black Sun symbology, which you'll also find heavily used amongst the Azov types and the neo-Nazi types in Ukraine and in other parts of Europe right now. So what do you make of that, Patrick? I saw our colleague Miles post an article earlier today that was kind of looking at the bizarre back and forth between the angles there on, you know, what we should, how we should interpret this this symbology on this guy.
Yeah, the similar symbols, Azov Battalion, Nazi, Ukrainian Nazi symbolism, that and the icons and so forth. Brendan Tarrant, you know, the Christchurch shooter, who also did a live stream, he had a lot of that material in his so-called manifesto as well. I just think it's interesting that these images feature in both. And so, I mean, if we want to play, you know, want to play the government's, the state's game on this, the mainstream media's game on this, well, you know, you guys are cheerleading for the arming, the training, the satellite reconnaissance support. You're supporting these Nazi regimes in Ukraine, these militants. You're lobbying to get, you know, billions sent to these guys. That's who's getting the weapons. That's who's getting the NATO training. That's who's getting your satellite information, your intelligence reconnaissance. Those are Nazis, and they have networked in Europe. All of the other far right groups around Europe are well networked with these Ukrainian people via the internet, and I think in North America too. This has also served as one of the recruitment lines in terms of recruiting volunteers to come and fight the good fight with the Zelensky regime in Ukraine. So I don't know, Hesher, maybe we've touched on some other things going on behind the scenes here that are even much bigger than the Buffalo shooting, that maybe the Buffalo shooter may have possibly also been involved with, even tangentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could very easily be part of, and I do not mean to diminish the harm that happened to anybody there, but this could, and it, you know, someone might take this, what I'm about to say, this way, but I believe that this is very likely a PR campaign to instill fear in the American people, to instill division. There's, you know, clearly a couple of analysis paths that can be taken with how we're to analyze the symbology being used here. But and on top of that, we have 2 million new people in this country and a projected 6 million more coming. They're flying them in, they're busing them in, they're just bringing people over the borders at rates that we can't even comprehend. And you got to wonder how many, and they're even saying that some of these people are Ukrainian refugees at this point. Who are these people? Where are they coming from? Are we going to see more events like this, more mud in the water with regards to this symbology and who and what actually constitutes a quote unquote neo-Nazi or a quote unquote white supremacist? Is this going to be a new factor in the Daily Shooter moving forward? I believe that it is. And you and I have talked about this before this even happened. And, you know, we were talking about exactly this, like, you know, when is it going to get exported? When is this going to get moved out of Ukraine? Because these people have been bolstered by governments for many years now. At least 8 years, you know, very heavily, very publicly, lots of money, lots of weapons.
And here's the other question, Hesher. Was this person, Mr. Payton, what his name is, was he radicalized? And the media want to say self-radicalized. Of course, every politician saying the internet companies, the big tech's not doing enough to prevent these things from happening. So more censorship, more AI bots. Was he self-radicalized? Or was he radicalized by somebody? Show me a radical and I will show you someone over their shoulder who is much more radical and manipulative than the patsy that you're seeing every single time. And who is that person? Is that person connected with a federal agency, for instance? We saw that a lot with the Islamic domestic terror events. I talked about Garland, Texas, in the first hour. So was he self-radicalized the way the media want it to be, of course, because it means more censorship, or was he radicalized? And if he was radicalized, by who? Was it a hot Ukrainian internet model? Was it a Azov Battalion wannabe in Canada? Was it someone who is a federal informant? We don't know, but I'm very suspicious about these incidents, Hesher. But we got a minute left. Your final thoughts. Bring us home.
Yeah, absolutely. All I can say, Patrick, is everybody needs to keep their eyes out. They need to be very, very skeptical about the way the mass media treats events like this. They can go back and listen to my talks with Mark Anderson about his experience doing independent journalism with the Sutherland Springs church shooting here in Texas. And he went there on the ground and analyzed that place and interviewed people. And he found that the mainstream story did not match up whatsoever with what he saw on the ground there. It's a bit of a long story, but basically he was able to discover that the forensic evidence that would have been there was not there for this to have gone down the way that they said it did. More details on that available at alternatecurrentradio.com. Thank you for having me today, Patrick. Much more to unpack here, but I think we took a good set of first steps.
Much more to unpack, and of course you'll unpack it more on your show, The Boiler Room, on alternatecurrentradio.com. Great program. Hesher is the host, has a great team there. Look, we'll continue on this. There's more to learn, as you said, Hesher, and we'll endeavor to do that. Listen, that's all we've got time for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to Fra Hughes. Thank you to Hesher, and thank you to Christian in the first hour, and thank you to everybody listening. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen. Take care. You're listening to TNT, Today's News Talk. All the best.